Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church. I'm here with Anselm, and we're continuing through the Homeric Greek book by Clyde Farr. There is a link to download the PDF of the book for free in the description. It's from 1920, so it's in the public domain. And then you can also order like the nicer, newer edition that's a little more user-friendly on Amazon or whatever. But today we are in Lesson 4. So if you remember last time in Lesson 3, we went through the declension of vouli. And we're going to continue thinking about the first declension of these feminine nouns with a couple of examples that are like vouli, but they're just a little bit different, okay? So these are still feminine first declension nouns, but they're just a little bit different than vouli. The first thing you can see here is that thea here, it doesn't end in ida like vouli did. Instead of ending with the ita, it ends with an alpha instead. So basically, it's going to be a little bit different. Now, we're going to talk in this episode also about accents. I don't want to overwhelm you by going into too much detail about accents, but I want to at least expose you to it. And then later on, you know, we'll keep talking about accents and reinforce things. But what we want to talk about, first of all, is that there are long and short vowels in ancient Greek. Okay, would you grab me that eraser real quick? So basically, just like in English, we have long and short vowels. You know, the long A says A, the short A says A. Well, there are long and short vowels in Greek too. In modern pronunciation, they're both going to get pronounced exactly the same. But the long vowels end up being the omega and the eta. Okay, these are always long. And then we have short vowels like the epsilon and the omicron, okay? So those are always going to be short. So these are always long, these are always short. And then you have the ones that can sort of go either way, which are the alpha, the iota, and the epsilon. Of course, we're using modern pronunciation. So basically, these can go either way. Now, when it comes to accents, the accent has to do with how long the vowel is, or is it a long or short vowel? So let me explain to you the three types of accents, okay? You've got basically this type of accent right here, which is called acute, okay? Then you have a backwards version of it, which is called grave, and then you have this, which is called the circumflex, okay? And sometimes you'll see it written like a Spanish tilde or whatever, okay? But basically, those three type of accents have certain rules governing them, okay? Now, this accent right here is the most versatile because it can actually go on any of the last three syllables. So it can go on the very last syllable, it can go on the second to last, or it can go on the third to the last, okay? That's what this one can do. Okay, this circumflex right here, it can only go on the last syllable or the second to last, okay? And then this one right here, the backwards one, it only goes on the last syllable. And it's basically just whenever you have an acute on the last syllable, like right here, thea, if we follow that up with another word with no punctuation in between or anything, we just roll into another word. Like let's say we wanted to put the word for good here, right? Then basically this just switches to an acute.
I see.
Because it's followed by another word. That's it. No big deal. So these all get pronounced the same when we're doing modern pronunciation. The big thing to realize, though, is just that there are these rules where the circumflex can only go on the last two, the grave can only go on the last, and then this one can go on any of those three. Okay. Now, I know this is kind of, this part's a little dry, but I just want to get this out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Try to absorb as much of it as you can. We'll practice it so much that you'll get used to it. But there's this issue of whether vowels are long or short, right? So here's the thing about accents. They can only, in Greek words, even in modern Greek, they can only go on the last three syllables, okay? Like we talked about, this can go on any of the last three, this can go on the last two. No accent can go earlier than that, okay? But it also depends on what is the last letter of the word. Is it short or long of a vowel? Okay. The last vowel of the word, I should say. Okay. Is it short or long? If it's long, if the last vowel is long, then basically you cannot accent the third to last syllable. You can't do it. So right here, so when we look at this right here, remember how we talked about these letters can go either way?
Yes.
Okay, we talked about that, right?
Yep.
Okay, well, so how do we know if this alpha here is long or short? Well, here's the thing. We have the accent all the way back here on the third from the last, thalassa. Mm-hmm. So if this were long, if this were a long alpha, could this accent be there? No, it can't. Because again, if the last vowel is long, you can't have it that far away. Mm-hmm. Okay, it has to be on one of the last two. So basically, because the accent is there, we know this is a short alpha. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, now look, when we move down here to thalassis, okay, into the genitive form here, okay, we have an eta. Now, eta is always
long.
Long. So can we have the accent here?
No, so it has to move like one.
So it like migrated over.
Yeah.
So in Greek, with nouns and adjectives, the accents are what is called persistent, mm-hmm. meaning that they want to stay where they started. Mm-hmm. So like with thalassa, the accent wants to be on that first alpha, okay? It'll do everything it can to be there, but sometimes the rules force it to do something else. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And then over here, the accent is on that alpha, thea, and it wants to stay there. And if it can do anything to stay there, it will. Okay. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's going to be easy to stay there because it's the last syllable. But here, when it's the third from the last, thalassa, you know, sometimes the rules are going to force it to move later. Is this making any kind of sense?
It does make sense.
I know it's kind of a lot to absorb at once. And we'll get a lot more practice with this later on, mm-hmm. but at least we want to like just get it out there. Okay. So basically, the difference between these two words and why they decline differently is that this one ends in a short alpha. This one ends in a long alpha. Now, that's not because it's accented. It just happens to be accented. It's a long alpha, okay? If we end in a long alpha, it's going to have a different pattern than if we end in a short alpha.
So how can I see that this is a long alpha?
Here's the fun part. You can't, all right? So basically, you just have to know that okay. or think about that or yeah. realize that. Sometimes, you know, it'll be written in a book. They'll write like a straight line over it yeah. to show you that it's long. But you don't necessarily... know that for sure just from looking at this word by mm-hmm. itself. But here's the thing. I mean, one way that you know that it's long is the fact that the genitive is like this. Because, I mean, if it were short, you'd be over here and the genitive would have an eta. But because the genitive has the alpha with a circumflex, mm-hmm. I mean, that tells you that it's long. Because here's the thing about the circumflex. Another rule about the circumflex. Mm-hmm. The circumflex can only go over a long vowel. Okay.
Oh, I see.
So basically... looking at this, you can't really tell necessarily that it's long or short just by looking at it. But when you get to this, can you tell?
Yeah.
Because the circumflex.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then here, of course, you still have a circumflex. Circumflexes can only go over a long syllable.
Okay.
Or, mm-hmm. excuse me, a long
yeah.
vowel.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, the short answer is when you see these letters... there are going to be situations where you will not be able to tell just by looking at that one word if this is long or short. Hmm. You don't necessarily know because it's in any Greek text, it's not going to be marked that way except in like a book teaching you Greek or something. Mm-hmm. So when you actually read stuff in Greek, it's not going to be marked. So, you know, you can tell sometimes by the accent. Like here, we see the circumflex. Okay, it's got to be long. Hmm. But with something like this, unless you just know... you might not know. So that's why when you look up these words in the glossary or dictionary or lexicon or something, it'll give you the nominative form and the genitive form. Because then by seeing the genitive form, it gives you a little more information. Like, okay, oh, now I know that's a long alpha. I know I'm in this paradigm as opposed to this paradigm. So basically, these first declension feminine nouns, you know, we saw the ones that end in ita, like vouli, right? Mm. Or maybe not even an accented, because we saw this one right here, like Chrissy, the place, and it, you know, ends in an eta. It still declines like vouli.
Yeah.
But it has the accent in a different place.
Okay.
Then we have the ones that end in a long alpha, and then we have the ones that end in a short alpha. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
Okay, so let's kind of go through this and look at it. Basically, what we've got here is thea, theos, thea, theon. So we've got our nominative, genitive, dative, and accusative. Now, it's very similar to voli. The difference is that instead of itas, we have alphas. But other than that, it's the same because we had what? Say the voli declension. What's this one?
Voli, volis, voli, volin.
So it's pretty much the same thing. It's just instead of an ita, it's an alpha. So that's not really that hard, is it? Thea, theos, thea, theon. So if you really know voli, this isn't a big deal. Mm-hmm. You come down here to these, and again, the dual forms are the same as with voli. Just thea, thei. Same exact thing, right? And then when we come down to this right here, these forms are totally the same as voli. Because remember, voli switched to an alpha down here anyway.
Right.
Except for this guy right here. Mm-hmm. Right? But again, these are exactly the same as voli. And then look over here, good news, same endings, right? We got our e, aun, is, as. So these, so the plural in the first declension, whether we're dealing with voli, thea, thalassa, the plural endings all stay the same, and the dual endings all stay the same.
Okay.
Right? It's really just this part that we need to deal with,
yeah,
the singular part. Does that make sense? So like right here, you know, we've got thea, theos, thea, theon. Here's a good way to remember this. Remember that because it's a long alpha, and remember when you see the circumflex on the genitive, you know it's a long alpha. When you think of the long alpha, think of the long alpha as being a stronger alpha.
Mm-hmm.
It's so strong that it's going to dominate these singular forms.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas over here, we have this short alpha. It's a little weaker, so it gives in to the temptation to become an eta.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a little weaker. It can't really hang.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns into an eta here, and then, you know, it's back to an alpha here.
Yep.
So these are just a little different, right? Thalassa, thalassis, thalassi, thalasson. And remember, why is the accent? Why'd the accent move on these?
Because eta is a long vowel. So the accent has to move one. So
because you can't be that far away from the end when you have a long vowel at the end. So if you want to know where can the accent go, you look at the last vowel. Is it long or is it short? If it's long, you're going to be on one of these last two syllables.
Makes sense.
It's short, you could be further away. But they persist, they want to persist where they started in the nominative form, okay? So here this makes sense, thalassa, thalassis, thalassi, thalasson. Okay, now right here, okay, persistent accent wants to be here, boom, it moved here. Instead of thalassa, now we have thalassa. Why? Why did the accent move here?
Honestly,
this is the dual.
I don't know, honestly.
Well, here's the thing. Is it just going to move for no reason?
There has to be some reason.
Because it wants to persist there, right?
Yeah.
What would cause the accent to move? What's going on with this letter right here?
Oh, okay, so the alpha becomes a long alpha.
Okay, exactly right.
And we don't see it.
Exactly. So in the nominative form, we know this is a short alpha because the accent's all the way over here. Yeah. Whereas when we get into the dual form, the accent moves. There can only be one explanation for that. The dual ending is not the same as the nominative ending because the dual ending is a long alpha. And how do we know that? Because look at the accent, right? That's the difference between thalassa and thalassa.
Okay? But we don't pronounce the long alpha differently.
No, you don't pronounce it differently in modern pronunciation.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably did back then, of course. But in our, since we're using modern Greek pronunciation, we're just going to pronounce them both ah.
Mm.
So really, it's the accent that tells you that.
Okay.
And again, this is a little bit, you know, I don't know, maybe too much information. But I'm just exposing this to you. Some of this stuff is going to matter later.
Mm-hmm.
So I at least want to plant the seeds. Even if you can't necessarily retain everything about these accents, you know, at least start getting familiar with it.
Yep.
Okay. And then right here, okay, again, we're not on that first syllable. Why not? Why did this move here?
Well, because eta is a long vowel.
Oh, but Ida is not the last vowel, is it? What's the last vowel?
Oh, well, Yoda is a long vowel.
Yoda is the last vowel, but hold on. Is it long, though? Because remember, alpha, yoda, and ypsilon can go either way, can't they?
Yeah.
So the question is, which kind of yoda is this? Well, let's stop and count. Okay, that's the last syllable is just that yoda. The Ida is the second to last. This is the third to last. So what would this be? This would be the fourth from the last. That can never get an accent in any Greek word for any reason.
Yeah.
So we're actually on the third from the last. So if we're on the third from the last, is this a long or a short yoda?
Other than short.
It has to be short because we're all the way back here on the third from the last. Yeah. And the fancy names for these, if you want to know, the last syllable is called the ultima. And then the second to last is called the penult, like Latin, basically pen meaning almost, sort of like a peninsula. It's almost an island, right? Penult. And then basically the third to last is called the antepenult, which means before the almost last syllable. Yeah. Okay. So these are these are from Latin, basically. Okay. So ultima, penult, and antepenult. So basically we have right here, it's on the antepenult because this is a short, actually. So it's one, two, three.
Okay? Yeah, because the word got longer in those declensions.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It got longer. And so it became a four-syllable word instead of a three-syllable word. Okay, so then these are our dual forms again. We don't need to worry as much about these.
Yep.
I would say if you're a beginner, don't even really worry about learning the dual forms because it might be a little bit intense for you. But if you've had experience with classical Greek or biblical Greek before, then yeah, you definitely want to learn the dual terms in order to read Homer, okay? So then down here to the plurals, okay, we've got thalassa. So here we have a diphthong, basically two letters that come together to form one vowel sound. Now, here's the thing. Most of your diphthongs are going to be considered long. Yeah. It makes sense because there's two letters. Mm-hmm. Okay, but when words end in one of these two endings, e or e, then they get treated as short for purposes of accents. So this ends up being considered a short. That's why it's thalassa.
Okay.
Okay? Then we've got thalassaon. Now, why'd we move all the way here? I mean, we moved super far. I mean, instead of being before the sigmas here, I mean, it's all the way after the sigmas. Why did we get so far with that accent? Why did it drift that far? What's going on? Well, what kind of vowel are we ending in?
An omega.
Is that a short or a long vowel?
That is long.
It's long. So where can we put an accent? Can we put it on the antepenult? Can we put it three clicks away?
No, the penult.
Okay. So
the second to last.
And that's what the alpha is. So doesn't it make sense that we moved all the way from here with the accent, moved all the way here? Because this long omega can only allow us to be on the second to last. So boom, there we are.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm comparing it to this declension.
Okay, here's the difference, though. The difference is that this has a short vowel.
Oh, yeah, it's
see,
short.
You can't worry about what the second to last is. Mm-hmm. Whatever the second, like the fact that this second to last is long is totally meaningless. Mm-hmm. Ignore it. The thing that matters is only the last vowel. Mm-hmm. This is short. That's what determines it. This is long.
And omega is always long.
Omega is always long because it's omega. It's a big O. Yeah. Omicron is always short because it's the little O, the micro O versus the mega O. So, yeah. Eta is long, omega is long all the time, epsilon is short, and what's the other one that's always short besides epsilon? It's the opposite of omega.
Omicron.
Omicron, exactly. And then you got the ones that can go either way, the alpha, the yoda, and the epsilon. Okay, so we got here thalassa, thalassaon, and then we got here thalassis. Makes sense. That's long, second to last.
Yeah.
Thalassas. So is this a long or a short alpha here?
Well, in this case, it's a long alpha.
It has to be long because, boom, the accent's here. If it were short, the accent would be over here.
Yeah, makes sense.
Got it? Okay. So then over here, we've got thea. Okay, now that's where the accent wants to persist. Okay, it's not going to have any trouble persisting there because it's so late in the word, right? So we've got thea, theas, thea, theon. Now, as far as this becoming a circumflex, basically that's just a pattern that's the same with vouli, if you remember. And in fact, instead of pulling out vouli again, let's go ahead and throw an adjective onto this. And instead of, so thea means goddess, thalassa means sea, like ocean water type sea, okay? So let's throw an adjective onto this. Let's say beautiful goddess, okay? Then basically what we would do is we're gonna use kali, right? Now here's the important point that we need to emphasize is that we do not start putting an alpha on the end here. Like we don't wanna say thea kala. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because these two agree, the adjective and the noun agree in gender, number, and case. They don't necessarily have the same ending though. You understand what I'm saying?
I see, yeah.
So is this a feminine singular nominative ending? Yes, it is. Is this a feminine singular nominative? Yes, it is. Are they the same ending? No. They just have to agree in gender, number, and case. The endings aren't going to be the same. So just because we switch to alphas here, these are still going to be edas. Does that make sense? So we've got thea kali, okay? And then over here, we're going to do this right here, and we have the circumflex, okay? That's just a thing. You know, if you remember with vouli, vouli also got the circumflex above the genitive and the dative. It had a it had an acute in the nominative and then just switched to a circumflex, which is fine because circumflexes can go on that last syllable and they have to go over long syllables and these are long. Just, you know, they just get a circumflex, right? Sorry about that. Yeah, that's what you're going to fix for me. You got to keep me honest here. All right. And then right here, okay, we're going to do that. And then this, remember, because we're followed with another word, it just changes directions.
Yeah.
Not a big deal, right? Who cares? All right, so does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
Okay?
I mean, that's pretty easy.
And we would do the exact same thing with thalassa. In fact, we could apply this to thalassa because they don't have to be in a certain order. The adjective could come before or after. It's really flexible. Yeah. So we could say thea kali, meaning good goddess or beautiful goddess. And then right here, we could have the beautiful sea, thalassa kali or kali thalassa. Does that make sense? Okay, so we understand all this?
Yes.
All right, and then over here, this right here is again gonna be, you know, kala, right? My memory serves. And then that's gonna switch to that.
So it has to be kala because it's dual?
Dual, yep. Okay. That's a dual, that's different than this, right? And then here, you know, we would have basically the this guy, right?
Do you have to put a Yoda subscript beneath it?
Yes, I do. Good job. All right. Looking out. Okay, and then down here, basically, we would have... so what would this mean, this dual form here? What would this mean? Thea kala.
I mean, I would guess it's just talking about two.
Exactly.
Not more than two.
It's two. It's exactly two. This is singular, this is dual, this is plural. It's talking about two of them. Okay. So then down here, we've got thea, theaon, theas, and theas. And this should look real familiar from vouli. Same thing over here. So the plurals are pretty easy in that regard. Now, one thing I do want to say is that these don't always end like this. Sometimes instead of ending in a sigma like that, they can end in a sigma yoda like that, and it really doesn't change anything, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So just be aware that both of these forms exist.
Okay.
And then sometimes it even picks up, like before a vowel, it'll pick up, sort of like in English, we have a and an. You know, sometimes it'll pick up this knee on the end before a vowel, and it's called the knee movable. Okay, so do you have any questions about this, or does this make sense?
No, so far it's.
Okay, so sense. I'm going to give you one to do yourself here, okay?
Okay.
So here's a word that a lot of people know. These are all easy words that people are familiar with. So this right here, Gaia, okay, so Gaia right here means like earth, land, mm-hmm. country, something like that, right? So Gaia, is it going to be like this guy or is it going to be like this guy? Well, let me hit you with one more accent rule since you haven't had enough accent rules today. Okay, is that here's the thing about the circumflex. The circumflex always goes over a long syllable. Am I right?
It does, yeah.
Okay, so it goes over a long syllable, and we said it can only be on one of the last two positions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, here's another rule about the circumflex, is that it can only be on the second to last if the last one is short. So if it follows like a long short pattern. So mm-hmm. if the word ends in a long short, circumflex.
I see.
If it ends in long long, acute. So look, this is a long long, acute. Long long, acute, right? You see what I mean? So that's how that works, okay? And then if it goes long short, then you get a circumflex,
mm-hmm.
okay? So like here, look at this, long short, circumflex.
Okay, yeah.
Hmm. Long, short, circumflex. See that? And again, you don't necessarily have to retain all these accent rules at this point because, you know, you'll see more examples of it and whatever.
But we still have to follow this pattern in genitive and dative with the circumflex?
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's the pattern.
Okay.
So, yeah. But over here, it's an acute.
Hmm.
Right? Over here, it's a circumflex. Why is it an acute over here? Because, you know, you got these long situations going on here. Okay, so with that in mind, is that alpha long or short?
It's short.
It's short. So which of these two paradigms are we going to follow? What's the, because the colossal difference between these two paradigms is that one of them's a long alpha and mm-hmm. one's a short alpha. Remember what we said about the long alpha is it's strong enough to not become an eta.
Yeah.
Okay. So which one of these is weak?
Well, this is the short.
Exactly, because there's two reasons. Number one, because we have the accent on the third to last syllable, that shows us it's short. Also, look how weak you are. You just turn into an eta, right? Whereas this one's like, nope, stay in an alpha.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yep.
This is the long alpha paradigm. This is short alpha paradigm.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the short. So it's going to be like. Which one?
Like thalassa.
It's going to be like thalassa, right? The accent's going to want to persist right there, okay? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, what is going to be the genitive of this? When we go to the genitive, are we going to stay with the alpha or are we going to turn into something else?
It has to be gaiz. It has to be an
eta. Right.
Okay. It's short.
And then what kind of an accent should I throw here? Should I throw a circumflex or an acute? Keep in mind what the last vowel is.
Yeah, it's long, so it has to be an acute.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Okay, and then over here, we're gonna be like that,
mm-hmm.
all right? Okay, what's this word gonna be? Basically, accusative singular of gaia.
Gaion.
Yep, you got it, okay. What kind of accent am I gonna put on it?
Has to be also an acute.
Nope. It's going to be a circumflex because of the fact that this is a short alpha, this is a short alpha.
Oh, yeah, it's short again.
Yeah.
It's not an eta.
Okay, and then let's just really mess with you by having you do the dual form. Okay, so the dual form, what do you think it's going to be?
I think it has to be an acute.
Nope. Yes, you're right. Very good. Because of the fact that the dual gets a long alpha.
Yep.
So if it's long, we can't have a circumflex if it's long, right? Mm-hmm. So boom. So there you can actually tell the difference between these two words
mm-hmm.
with that, right? And then over here, you know, basically there's our stem. And then we're going to go with that ending right there, right? And so where's the accent going to go? It wants to persist, am I right?
It does.
Okay. How many syllables does this word have?
Three.
Okay. What's the last vowel? Is it long or short?
I'm not sure on this one.
Okay, so here's the thing. The Yoda can go either way, am I right? Okay, but what's it been, how's it been functioning in this dual ending? What does it look like here? Does it look like it's long or short?
Long.
Nope, because we're third click from the end, so it must be short. Circumflex, so it must be short. So it's short. So if it's short, how far from the end can we be?
Three syllables.
Three. And that's where we want to be. So what kind of an accent am I going to put there?
It has been circumflex.
Nope, because the circumflex can never go on the third to last syllable. It can only... remember, there's only... These can go on any of the three positions. These can only go on the last two, and these can only go on the last. Mm. Right? This can go in three places, this can go in two places, this can go in one place. Right? So if we're three clicks from the end, we're always 100% of the time going to be...
Acute.
And acute, exactly. Don't feel bad. This is a lot to digest. This is a lot to take in. Okay, I'm sure the people at home feel exactly the same way. Okay, so then when we get here, okay, we're again going to be like thalassa, right? So what's going to be my ending?
Also the diphthong. Yeah. It's diphthong.
Okay, and then when this comes at the end of a word, it's considered
short.
Short, right?
Although it's long, theoretically.
Well, like in the middle of a word, it's long. Because it's long right here. That's why it has a circumflex, am I right? Mm-hmm. And notice the accent goes over the second letter in the diphthong. That's one of the ways that you know it's a diphthong. Okay, so this is long for purposes of accentuation. Yeah. This is short. What do we do when we have that long, short kind of a feel?
Circumflex.
Okay. All right, and then we got this thing going on right here. You know, this I love this form because it's just so consistent because it's just like...
Makes sense.
You know what I mean? It's just always... I love that awen form. It's just easy. All right, and then right here, basically, what's our ending? What kind of an ending do we need?
Geisi. Or gein. With an N at the end.
It'll get the N on the end for, you know, if it's followed by a word with a vowel, right? So sometimes you'll see that in like parentheses or something, because it really depends on what the next word is. We don't really know what the next word is right now, right? Okay, so how about the accent? What are we going to do here? Remember, the accent wants to persist. Okay, so it wants to be on that first syllable because that's where it was initially. So how many syllables have we got here?
Three.
Three syllables.
So we can't put the circumflex on the Yoda because it would be too far away.
Exactly. You're right. What's the only thing we can put there? What's the only thing that can go through third syllable from the last?
An acute.
Exactly. And that's where it wants to be. Is there any reason why it can't be there? No, because this is a short Yoda. It can be there. I mean, it's there. It's three clicks away on thalassisi, right? So might as well. And then last of all, we've got this. And we know that this os ending, that's a long alpha on the theos. That's why it went thalassas instead of thalassas. It's thalassas because that's a long alpha. So this is a long alpha. It wants to persist. It's two syllables. There's no issue with it persisting. Mm-hmm. Long, is it going to be circumflex or not? This is a tough one.
I don't think so because for circumflex, it should be long short.
Exactly right. So boom, there you go. So that's kind of a lot to take in. It's a little bit overkill, but, you know, we'll see. You get more practice. You'll get used to it. You'll see it more.
But one question.
Okay.
Why is this different? Both are three syllables.
Here's the difference. Persist. We want to persist over this syllable here with the thea. Here, these are both two syllable words. Okay? Here we're persisting on the last syllable or on the alpha syllable, we should say. Here we're persisting on the first syllable. Okay. So when we get down to this word right here, okay, this Eta used to be an alpha. Am I right?
Yes.
So why would we put the accent on the epsilon? The accent doesn't want to. The accent was never on the epsilon.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's persisting here. Mm-hmm. Now, because of this short Yoda, yeah, theoretically, it could be on the epsilon, but it doesn't want to be because it wants to persist.
I see.
See what I'm saying? Whereas over here, persisting means being three clicks away. Mm-hmm. Here, persisting means being right where it is. So these are both persisting where they want to be. That's the difference.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
If not, let me know.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, cool. All right, so that's kind of a lot to take in, these accents. If you don't get all of it, just move forward to the next lesson if you're a little burned out on these accents. But, you know, it is something that in the long run is really going to help you a lot if you learn these accent rules to be able to tell the difference when you're reading between something like this and this, where the only difference is an accent. You know, it can really make a difference in the meaning. Mm-hmm. Am I right? So, all right, now we got through all that drudgery. So now let's move to the exercises. So we've got now the Greek to English exercises. So we're going to go through these sentences. Echi kali thea voulin kalin. And it's a question. So, echi kali thea voulin kalin? So what does that mean?
Does the beautiful goddess have a good plan?
Exactly right. All right. Kale thea isi phile psychi theas thalassis dinis. So let's start with this first part. Kale thea.
So the beautiful goddesses?
Yep. Isi phile.
Are lovely.
Right. They are lovely psychi theas thalassis dinis. So they are lovely psychi theas.
Lovely souls.
So, okay, so soul here, psyche, is in what case?
It's in dative.
Dative. So this is to whom or for whom. So okay. So basically, the beautiful goddesses are lovely...
To
the soul.
To the soul, yeah.
Right?
Beautiful goddesses are lovely to the soul.
Theos.
Of.
Right. Of the what?
Of the, again, goddesses.
This is not plural though, because we got the circumflex. And if it were, we know it's an of form. If it's a genitive, the genitive singular ends in the sigma, because what you were thinking of is theos with the acute accent, which is the accusative plural. This is singular genitive, right? So lovely to the soul.
Of the goddess.
Singular, okay. Yeah. Thalassis.
Of the terrible sea.
Exactly. So to the soul of the goddess of the terrible sea, okay? So there we go. So you can see how these case endings and these accents start mattering, don't they? And these are really easy sentences. Mm-hmm. This is way easier than actually reading Homer because these are meant to be easy, okay? So here we got Killa. Ke chrisi isi kale ke phile theisi thalassaon. What does that mean?
So, Killa and chrisi are beautiful and lovely. Theisi thalassaon. To the goddesses of the seas.
Yeah, exactly. So, I would say, you know, Scylla and Chrissy are beautiful or good, and they are maybe beloved by the goddesses of the seas, right? Something like that. But yeah. Okay, number four. Kali thea uk echi psichin kakin.
The good goddess doesn't have a bad soul.
Exactly. Okay. And then kali esti thea echi the psichin kakin.
The goddess is beautiful, but she has a bad soul.
Yep, exactly. The ni klangi estin ek thalassis.
There is a terrible sound from the sea.
Yep, exactly. Killa ke chrisi Eson Epithalasi.
Scylla and Chrissy are...
Not are, though, because it's...
were, yeah.
Yep, were.
Were, at the sea.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. They were at the sea. Because epi is like in or on, but in this case it's like beside. Like if I said they were on the sea, it doesn't mean like they're on top of the sea. Mm-hmm. It means like on the coast. So yeah, these two cities, mm-hmm. Scylla and Chrissy, were like beside the sea, mm-hmm. at the sea, on the sea, meaning that they're basically coastal towns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you got it. All right, and then we've got Thea Thalassis, you see, Phile Psychis Polis Philegardestin.
The goddesses of the sea are
You know what? I bet this needs a I probably copied it wrong out of the book. I'll bet that is a supposed to have a Yoda subscript. I'll just double check to make sure. But while you're thinking about it, yeah, it was supposed to have that. Yeah.
So the goddesses of the sea are beloved.
I scribbled these out in a hurry, so I missed a couple of.
Or beloved, beloved of the.
Well, this what case are we in here?
Yeah, it's dative.
Dative plural, right?
So they are lovely to many souls.
Yeah.
For exactly. What I wanted to say is they beloved of many souls.
Yeah, you could say like they are beloved by many souls. Okay. By many souls. Because the dative can either be to whom or for whom. Mm-hmm. But you can also have like a dative of agent, mm-hmm. of like who's doing it. Mm-hmm. So like they're loved by whom? They're loved by many souls. You could do it that. That would be another use of the dative.
Okay, so they are beloved by many souls for they are lovely.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you got. I mean, the sentences are silly. They're dumb sentences. But it's because, you know, you're only in lesson four. You have a real limited vocabulary. Yep. So it's just kind of giving you these really dumbed down sentences. We're going to get to the actual real lines from the Iliad starting in, I believe, lesson 13. Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, we got practice. All right. So, okay, what are we on? Number 9?
Patri kali esti fili polis psychis kalis.
Yep.
So the good father?
No, it's not father. It's fatherland. Oh. Patri is like a fatherland or your homeland, native land. It's like patriotic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the difference is that it's feminine.
Exactly, because the word for father would be masculine, obviously. Mm. So patri is, you know, a feminine word because it's the homeland.
The beautiful homeland is beloved by many good souls.
Yep, exactly. And then ek patris kakis in.
There was.
Well, you know, I would supply here, because there's no subject in this sentence, nothing's nominative. I would supply either he, she, or it. Mm-hmm. Let's just go with he.
Okay, he was from the bad fatherland.
No, he was from he's from a bad country. He's from a bad homeland. Okay. And then Eson Pire Pole and Fili Patri Epi Dini Thalassi.
So Pire is fires?
Right. Like funeral pyres, especially. Like we would use the same word in English, pyre. Mm. Like when people are cremated.
Okay.
So it's specifically talking about probably funeral pyres. So
there were. You said funeral pyres?
Yeah.
Okay. There were funeral pyres, many funeral pyres, in the beloved's homeland at the terrible sea.
Exactly. And then last but not least, we got, of course, the semicolon at the end, so this is going to be a question. So Tis uk ehi kalin psihin.
Who doesn't have a good soul?
Yep, exactly. You got it. All right, so I ended up having to leave the church building before Anselm and I could finish with the English to Greek exercises. So I'm at home now. I've got this whiteboard. I'm going to go ahead and just do them from here right now. So if you're at home, if I make any mistakes or anything, leave them in the comments and let me know, because I'm doing this on the fly and there's no answer key or anything. So I'm going to do the best I can. I don't have Anselm here with me to provide another set of eyes, but I'm going to go ahead and work through these. Okay, so we're lesson four. This is where we translate from English into Greek. All right, so number one in the book is, are the good plans dear to the souls of the goddesses? All right, so we're going to start with the good plans. Go, voulez, kale. So, are the good plans dear? So, and put the word for R, you see, and then go file. So, are the good plans dear to the souls of the goddesses? Theon. And then that needs to be a question mark. All right, so now I'm going to go back through and take care of my accents and everything. So we got, whoops, forgot a letter there. So we got, vule, kaleisin, file, psihis, theon. All right, oh, I always forget my breathing marks too. So put the smooth breathing mark there over the second letter of the diphthong. So, vule, kaleisin, Phile psihis theou. All right, so number two. What's next? They have many plans, but they are cowardly ones. They have many plans, but they're cowardly ones. And they put the they are and the ones in parentheses. They don't want us to translate these. So what they really want me to write is, they have many plans, but cowardly. All right, so let's start out with they have many plans. So ehusi. Have vulas polas. So they have many plans, and then we're going to start a new clause, but cowardly. All right. So we'll say kaze. Okay, so let me just take a quick second to explain why this word de comes after. Because it's, they have many plans, but cowardly. But this word, de, and then we're going to see another word as well a lot, gar. This is the same way. These two words right here, they're post-positive, meaning that they can't be the first word in a sentence or the first word in a clause. And typically they come second. Sometimes they'll come third or something, but usually they're like second. So even though it's but cowardly, it's kakede, because this one has to come second. And then also, I switched this to the nominative case, because obviously the many plans are in the accusative case, but because there's a comma here and this is like a new statement, I went ahead and went nominative, because there's sort of an implied, they are cowardly ones. So then this becomes the nominative of they are cowardly. So that's why I switched to nominative there. Because, you know, you could basically see that there's like an implied state of being. That's what they put in parentheses. So it's like an implied, they are cowardly. So it becomes like a predicate adjective. All right. So let's go to number three here. Number three is, the plans are dear to the soul of the beautiful goddess, for they are noble. So the plans are dear to the soul. So voulez. Or what did we say? The plans are dear? Yeah, the plans are dear. See. File.
to the soul. See, heed, the plans are dear to the soul of the beautiful goddess. Theos Kalis. Okay, and then what's that last part again? For they are noble. And so we're going to do the same kind of thing that we did here with the but they are cowardly. For they are noble. We'll say Kalegar. All right, that should work. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and erase these now and work on number four. What do we got? The lovely goddess of the sea was not in Scylla. Okay, so lovely goddess. We should go the other way with that one, right? Lovely goddess was not, or no, the lovely goddess of the sea. Sorry, of the sea. So that'll be Thalassis. Ukeen, lovely goddess of the sea, was not in Scylla. Okay. Number five. There are many funeral pyres by the sea in our beloved fatherland. So there are many funeral pyres. Pure Polesi. There are many funeral pyres. What was the next part? By the sea in our beloved fatherland. So by the sea. And so because this is a vowel, I'm going to go ahead and add that right there. Forgot my breathing mark. And then, so at the sea, what comes next? Many funeral pyres by the sea in our beloved fatherland. So in patri. And then we need it to be beloved. So patri fili. All right. Number six. All right, what do we got? Okay, this last one's pretty short. Who was in Scylla by the sea? Who was in Scylla? Was in Scylla by the sea. We'll keep using that same phrase that we keep seeing. P. Thalassi, right? And then question mark. Okay, so again, if I made any mistakes, please let me know. But that's it for lesson four. We'll see you on lesson five.